All right, for this morning, we're going to kind of follow up with where we've been. So if you haven't been here for the last four Sundays, I'm not going to re-preach those four messages. But I will tell you about where we've been. We've been talking through Advent, okay? And Advent talks about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus coming. So the Old Testament was all these people coming along saying, hey, the Messiah's coming one of these days. And the New Testament is, hey, he's what? He's here, all right? He's finally here. And so there was all this excitement, and through him we found that he's the author of our hope and of our peace and of our joy and of our love, all that's rooted in Jesus. And so we've been able to celebrate that this week. Anybody open presents? All right, has the excitement of the present worn off? Anybody still have a present you're really excited about? All right, good deal. But where is the wrapping paper? The wrapping paper is all in the trash can, right? Yeah, we've just kind of gotten rid of it. So we're going to kind of talk through things about after Christmas here, because Christmas is coming and gone. So the wrapping paper is in the trash. Where's all the goodies? Most of the goodies. The cookies and the cake. Yeah. Oh, and they're sitting heavy, aren't they? Right. Got your stretchy pants on this morning. All right, so all the goodies are kind of been consumed, and family that's been traveling, for the most part, they've either went home or they're going home, right? So we're kind of coming to the tail end of vacation, so I'm just really trying to encourage you here this morning. The decorations are going to be coming down. Anybody taking down your decorations at home yet? All right, so some do, some's like the last present's opened and the tree must go, right? For some people, they may leave it up a little bit longer, but ultimately, even like next week here, we're going to take these decorations down, and they are going to disappear. And so all sorts of stuff going on. New Year's is right around the corner. We've got people going back to work, and for a lot of us students, we're going back to... Oh, she won't even say it now. Yeah, we're going back to school. Don't even think about it, right? We're going to start school back whenever that may be, sometime in January if you take a break, extended break here. But it's kind of like Christmas has faded. You ever feel that way? You know, there's all the hoopla before and all the grandeur before and all the excitement before. And then it's like Christmas comes and it's just... And we've talked here before about Christmas blahs. I'm not really getting into that. But what I wonder today is, where are all the Christmas cantatas and programs and journeys and services about post-Christmas? And where are the post-Christmas songs? I mean, there's all this excitement leading up through last Sunday, and you could have went anywhere in this city on a Wednesday night. I've never seen it like this before. For Christmas Eve service, like every church other than Peace was hosting a Christmas Eve service, it seemed like. And so you could go all over the place. Everybody was celebrating. But where are the services that really celebrate the empty manger? Where are the songs that we can sing today that celebrate that he has moved on? I kind of wrote one here, and don't laugh at me. I'm not a very good songwriter. But we sing the song. It's called Away in a Manger, right? You guys know that song? I thought maybe we could change the title a little bit, and we could make it Away with the Manger. So maybe it would go like this. Away with the manger, away with the hay. The little Lord Jesus, he just couldn't stay. So let's go back to doing what we were before and wait until next year to do it once more. That sounds like a good fourth verse, right? We could add that. Is that really how it's supposed to be? All right, now I'm setting you up. In a sense, no. But in a sense, yes. All right, in a sense, no. It's not that we're forgetting. Now, if we're forgetting, no. Right? But if we are to just continue to press on, then... Yeah, so let's think about it for a minute. The shepherds came, all right, so these guys are out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angels appeared and said to them, don't be afraid, I'm going to tell you there's a Savior who's been born, right? And so the shepherds go to see what's been born, then they go back rejoicing, then what do? After they tell others, what do? Ma'am? They disappeared, yeah. The invisible shepherds, yeah. They just went back to shepherding, right? So they go see the baby, they go rejoice, they go tell people what they've seen, and then they go back to shepherding. The wise men, remember these guys? Matthew 2? They come and talk to Herod about this star they'd seen. Where is the child who was born? And Herod said, used to, it would make me shut down. Not today, Satan, not today. Right? So, where did the wise men go? They came to see the star, and they came to see the baby Jesus, and then the Bible says, or the toddler Jesus, and then they went a different way back home. Right? Because they had been warned not to go back by Herod. And so they go a different way back home. They just go back to doing what they were doing. All the citizens who had gathered for the census, registered to be taxed, where do they go? They all go back home. They all go back to doing what they were doing. They all go back to their life. Okay? And so really what I'm getting at today is, yes, there should be moments that are highlighted, and yes, there should be moments that we celebrate, but that shouldn't bring us a lull in our Christian walk. Right? There are moments that really are high, but there's the rest of life that's really just steady. It's just steady. It's just staying the course. It's just being faithful. It's just doing the things that we know to do and trusting the Lord to do all the things that we don't know to do or that we can't do. Right? And so that's kind of the thought behind this today. And when we think about these different people, the moment that Jesus was born was a beautiful moment. It was a great moment. But the truth of the matter is, it was just a moment. Jesus didn't just get born and then that was it. Right? That was the start. And so we celebrate and we should remember the moment. It's a big deal, but we need to remember that it's just a moment. There's just a lot more to the story. You know, sometimes we let moments define us. Like, what are some prominent moments in your life? You would say, this has kind of helped make me who I am today. What's a prominent moment? Anybody? So every year we celebrate your birth. I think that's pretty prominent, right? That's necessary for us to celebrate you. That had to happen. So a birthday is kind of a prominent marker in your life. What about the day maybe that you came to know Jesus? Or the time, or however that worked. You would probably say that's a prominent moment. When you graduated, right? Or when you got the job you wanted, or when you became married, or when you received a little baby. Those are defining moments in your life, right? Sometimes we kind of define ourselves by the moments, specific moments, rather than the sequence of life. And so today I want to talk to you about the sequence of life. Sometimes we talk about the sequence of life as being kind of like being a Walmart Christian. You know what a Walmart Christian is? If you go to Walmart today, what is prominent in their store when you walk in? What decorations? All right, so we've got a little bit of New Year's stuff, but mostly Valentine's Day stuff, okay? So it makes it hard for me to go in and celebrate Christmas when there's chocolate candy hearts. It's like, really? And by the time we get to Valentine's Day, they're going to have us celebrating Easter. And so the Easter bunny is going to be out at Valentine's Day. And then at Easter, we're going to have all this red, white, and blue stuff. Getting ready for Memorial Day and the 4th of July and summer's here. And then we're out of school. And the week you get out of school, what goes up in Walmart? Back to school. Here's all your supply list. Like we just got out 2 days ago. And then you go back to school. And it's, you know, in the middle of summer, they've got Halloween stuff out. When September comes around, they've got Christmas stuff out. And it's just like we can't enjoy today because we're always looking forward to the next moment. And so we let our life be defined by December 25th or February 14th or April 5th or May 29th or July 4th, whatever the date. Sometimes we just live by moments and we miss all the little days in between. Some of you are on Facebook, right? Some of you are not. In a real simple way, Facebook allows you on a computer to connect with people that maybe that you haven't seen, or maybe people that you see all the time. And you can write stuff about yourself, and you can post pictures, and they can do the same thing. So here recently, if you've been on Facebook, people have been posting this year in review. Have you seen that? Kind of like your last year, 2014, some of the highlights. And so here's some pictures that you've posted, and here's some statuses that you have posted. And so I didn't post mine. I kind of looked at what they thought was significant, and I had like 15 things. I don't post a whole lot. But I had like 15 things, and so it was kind of like these are what defined my 2014. So how many days are in a year? 365 minus 15 equals 350. So what about the other 350 days? Are they unimportant? No, they may not have been memorable. Like, I don't remember March 27th. I might if I looked at my calendar, but it doesn't ring a bell right now. So maybe it was just another day, but it doesn't mean that it didn't matter. And so what we're trying to say today is in the sequence of life, every moment matters, not just the big events. And I think we'll see that hopefully here when we look at the life of Jesus. And so if you've got a Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 29, verse 39 rather, to verse 52, kind of the end of that chapter. If you don't have a Bible, some of this text is in your bulletin and it's on the wall. You can follow along there for your convenience as well. But let's kind of talk through this for a minute. Here's kind of what's going on. Jesus has been born. He's been taken to the temple. He's been circumcised. Simeon, the prophet, has seen him, and now he can go die, because God said you won't die till you see the Savior. So he's seen the Savior, now he can go die. Anna, another prophet or prophetess, is celebrating the Lord. We see in a dream that the angel says to Joseph, take your family and go away, because Herod's going to start killing babies. And so that all kind of takes place, but we don't really have much more about Jesus until his ministry. We've got this one little account that we're going to read about as a 12-year-old boy, but we've got young baby Jesus, and then we've got 30-year-old man Jesus. So is there anything significant taking place between age 1 and 30 for Jesus? It's not significant enough that it's detailed in the Bible, but there is something here that's very specific that I think we all can hopefully hold on to and we can walk out of here with as an application to our life. But let's read this. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. All right, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, that is, they took Jesus to the temple to be circumcised, they dedicated him. They returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So basically, 12-year-old Jesus gets left behind because mom and dad think he's with aunt and uncle, right? And a few days later, they realize he's not with aunt and uncle, and so they start to look for Jesus. Verse 45, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, well, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And so it is, I want to look through a few different things here that we can highlight from this text as it relates to the sequence of our life. We don't know all the details of Jesus' life, but we do know some significant things took place as it's recorded here in Luke chapter 2. All these will pull from really one verse. It's echoed, verse 40, and it's echoed in verse 52. Just kind of the same sentiment that we'll work through here this morning. First thing is this, our sequence as believers is to grow in our faith. All right, our sequence as believers is to grow in our faith. Now, it's a little different for Jesus. Jesus wasn't growing in his faith because Jesus was and is whom? God. But the Bible teaches us that he did grow. And so we're just really talking about the purpose of growing. So it kind of seems like Christmas comes, because this is how we do it in this country, great big ordeal up until December 25th, and then we're quiet until the end of March or beginning of April, sometime in there, and then he's resurrected. It's like, what happens in all this time period? Well, the Bible speaks some very significant words here. So each day with Jesus wasn't some massive celebration. Would you guys like that? Would you children like it if somebody just walked around and applauded you all day? You're awesome. It's Tuesday, your day. Would you like that? You don't know? Would you like that? You don't know? Would you like that? Yeah. All right, so every day is not a massive, big celebration day. And sometimes I think in my Christian life, it's supposed to be. Like each day should be bigger and better with the Lord than the day before. You ever feel like that? I should accomplish more today than I did yesterday for the kingdom of God. And so it should always in my life should just be expanding, just always getting more beautiful and more big. And yet it just doesn't work that way. Why? Well, Jesus tells us, rather Luke tells us here as we look at the life of Jesus. So let's go back to verse 40. Jesus models for us what the sequence of life looks like. He says here in the beginning, verse 40, and the child grew and became strong. And so what we're seeing here is it was necessary for God in the flesh to grow, physically speaking. He started out as a baby, and he was going to mature in strength, and he was going to grow. So we've already said it. We're not God, nor are we the Son of God. And so we have some time, and we have this need for growing to become like God. So again, this is just the process of life. Think of it like this. Some of you children, how tall are you guys? You may be like 3 foot something, 3 foot six, 3 foot seven, somewhere, something like that. If you went to bed tonight, maybe you're 5 foot something. If you went to bed tonight and woke up like 6 foot ten, how awesome would that be? Would you love that? Now that was the height I always wanted to be, 6 foot 10 inches. And I'm still hoping to wake up that way. But it doesn't work like that, right? Or nobody sits down at a meal and takes a fork full of food and goes from 20 pounds to 175 pounds. Right? Thankfully. Right? So it doesn't work like that. It is a process, right? So it takes time. So it was with Jesus. Jesus, his growth was a process. And our growth and becoming like him is just like that. It is a process. So we don't go from a place of knowing nothing about Jesus to knowing everything about Jesus like that. We don't go from a place of being young in our faith to being mature in our faith like that. It is a process. It is a sequence. And so there is to be this progression in our life of growth. And so it's usually in the slow, in the days that are not celebrated, in those moments that are just uneventful, that real growth is going on. Remember, I asked you this morning, can you tell that you grew? And the answer was, I hope so. And that's how that's supposed to work. Some days I see it, most days I don't. So I can't look back at December 27th and go, oh yeah, my spirituality meter has went up, 1%. Now I can look back a few years and go, yeah, I'm not that man that I was then. And so I'm still growing. I'm not the man I'm going to be either, but I'm not who I once was. But growth is often happening in these uncelebrated, eventless moments of our life, just like Jesus here. All the Bible says is that he grew up. We don't know what he did with his mom. We don't know what he did with his dad. We don't know anything other than the temple. We don't know where he played. We don't know what his favorite food was, what his favorite toy was, who his favorite people were. We don't know how often he slept. We don't know anything about him other than this right here. He grew. He grew. Kind of the everyday life, right? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, December 25th. And then kind of the boring, mundane next 29 years of this guy's life. He's steady after it, just growing. And you and I need to be steady as well, just doing the things that are necessary. I asked you earlier if you wanted to be celebrated every day. Jesus didn't walk around with that herald of angels singing his praise all the time, did he? No, it wasn't every step like, wonderful, counselor, almighty God. He wasn't doing that, was it? No, it was just We don't know every step. So all Jesus was doing was taking the next step. All Jesus was doing was taking the next breath. And all those things allowed him to grow, reach a point where he was going to fulfill his created purpose. So our sequence as believers is to follow in his steps. In a similar way, we're to grow, only we're talking about growing in our faith. The Bible speaks of this often. One we talk about here often is 2 Peter 3:18. It tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to grow in our understanding of who he is, and when we do that, we grow in our understanding of who we are. So it's something that I am to pursue. It's something that you and I are to be hot after, growing in my faith, growing as a believer, becoming more like Jesus. Now, if you progress down to verse 52, this verse isn't on the wall, but there's a word there that's synonymous with growth, and it's this word stature. Right? So we've got grow, we've got him becoming stronger. In verse 52, we've got the idea of stature, the idea of maturing. And so it's the picture of becoming more and more like Jesus. Here's what Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. That makes sense, right? When I'm a child, I'm going to act like a child. But he goes on to say, when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And so this is talking about growth. And we see this in the life of Jesus there, what we read about when he was a 12-year-old boy in the temple. We see him kind of demonstrating his growth. Okay, you rocked me, you fed me, you've nurtured me, but now, Mom, now, Dad, I'm starting to be about my Father's business. And so you need to know that. And so he's demonstrating this picture of maturity. He's demonstrating this sequence of growth. Paul also wrote it this way to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4. Here's what he writes. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he's given all these specific giftings and people for this reason, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Right? So we're talking about growth. We're talking about maturity. And so part of what we do here on any given Sunday is working to help people grow. That's why God has given certain people certain roles. It's to help all of us function as one body. So we're all benefiting from one another. We're all helping one another grow. Verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. And so here we see just again the picture of growth. Part of my role is to be somebody who's submitting to all the different avenues that help me grow, right? And so we come and we listen to people who are preparing to teach, and we interact with them because they're helping us grow, and we're going to help them grow in return. There's kind of this give and take there in that situation or in that scenario. And so one of the reasons, one of the things that we are to do is to grow in our faith, to do our part to allow God to change us. All right, let's go secondly here this morning. Our sequence of life is about our growth, but it's also about being filled. And here Luke writes that Jesus was filled with wisdom. And so this is how this works. If I don't grow in my understanding of Jesus, if I don't read his word, then I'm not going to have his wisdom to know how to live my life here in ways that are right. Otherwise, I'm just shooting from the hip. I'm kind of guessing. You know, it's not, Lord, what do you have me to do here? It's more like, well, this is what I think I should do, or this is what I think the best, this would be the best thing for this situation, when we really need to be seeking the wisdom of God. And so back in verse 40, let's go there. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, we just said, and the child grew and became strong, and now Luke writes and says, he was filled with wisdom. He was filled with wisdom. So the picture here is wisdom is not something that we're born with. And wisdom is something that must be attained. It must be acquired. And wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. So we can go to school and we can graduate kindergarten and we can work our way up through elementary school and middle school and high school and college, and we can get a degree and we can have a lot of letters after our name which says to the world that we're smart people and still be totally absent of wisdom. Because wisdom is not something that's acquired through a book like that. Wisdom is something that's acquired from God. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, for the Lord, what does He do? The Lord gives wisdom. It's from the Lord that we get wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So God is the author of wisdom. God is the one who we go to. So when we take in God, we are in essence taking in wisdom. We're taking in what we need to live this life in a way that's pleasing to Him. So that's why we encourage everybody every day. That's why we ask you every Sunday, have you been in the Word? That's why we put like a Bible reading plan out on the table. Just something, kind of a guide. You don't have to use that. There's all sorts of resources you can use. But use something. Find something that's going to put you in the Word consistently, daily, regularly, so God can then input into you His wisdom, His Word. See, the Bible gives me direct access to the mind of God. I don't need my own opinion. I've got that already. And my own opinion often gets me in trouble. My own opinion often gets me slanted or prejudiced to prejudge a situation. What I need often is wisdom. And so we talk about it here often. Whenever somebody approaches me and says, I want to talk to you, what do I do? What? Oh, I make an appointment. I was thinking you said you pass out. Maybe that's what I was thinking. I don't. Well, sometimes we make an appointment. Yeah, but if it's right then in the moment, I say, God, give me some wisdom. So I'm interacting with you, and it's not that I'm being distant or disconnected. It's that in that moment, the first thing I'm thinking is, God, you got to help me here. Give me words to say. Help me not to react. Just help me to listen, right? And so we need to seek that wisdom. I'm not perfect at it, but often when I don't do that is when I find myself reeling backwards from a discussion or in a situation like I just got myself in without the help of God. So the Lord gives wisdom, and it's from His mouth that come knowledge and understanding. It's His storehouse that we've got to be after. James says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. And what does He do? He gives it. He gives it generously to all without finding fault. And when you ask, it will be given to you. And so God is going to give you and I wisdom. So the Bible says Jesus grew, all right, in His stature. He became mature, and it says He was filled with wisdom. So when you become a believer, that is, when you hear about Jesus Christ and that He is a Savior, and the reason He is a Savior is because we are sinners. And so He has come to die for us, to save us from our sins. When we receive Him as our Savior, the Bible teaches that His Spirit now comes to live within me. And so I am a host. I am a home. The Bible says I am a temple, because God's Spirit dwells or lives within me. And so one of the beautiful things about having God in me is that I can take this word and you can take this word and I can read it and God's Spirit starts to help me understand it. Paul writes and says, apart from the Holy Spirit, you don't get boo from this word. You cannot know and you cannot understand God. We'll get you some facts. You can quote the verses. But apart from the Holy Spirit illuminating, that's one of the things, like bringing to light. It's like flipping the switch and the lights come on, makes things bright. That's what the Holy Spirit does with the Bible. And so I read it, and He's in me, and I read these verses, and He helps me understand things. And He gives me the wisdom that I need to live my life here in ways that are pleasing to the Lord. And so Jesus taught us we're to grow, but we're also to be filled with wisdom. It doesn't come built in. We've got to go get it. And to acquire it, we've got to seek after the Lord. God is the author and the provider as well of our wisdom. And so part of the sequence of life is being filled with wisdom. And then third and last here this morning, we're going to grow, we're going to be filled with wisdom, and now we're going to live, and we're going to live this out under, live this in God's grace. Live in God's grace. And so in our text, we see that Jesus was growing up. Jesus was living in the favor of God. And so He's got favor, He's got the Lord's pleasure, He's got the blessing of the Father. All these good things are coming towards the Son. And so let's read in verse 40. It says, then the child grew, and he became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So some of your translations may have the word favor, some of them may have grace. Typically, when we think of grace, what do we think of? All right, so the little acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. A lot of time when we think of grace, we think of sinners, right? Sinners are in need of grace. And if it wasn't for grace, we'd all still be sinners. And that's absolutely true. But the grace that's mentioned here is not necessarily the grace that comes for sinners. It's the picture of the favor of God on a person. The blessing of God on a person. And so it's what we've talked through a little bit already about his love that's over us just because. You've not earned it. It's not because I've dressed it up and made it pretty and acceptable to God. He just loves us because he does. And so some use the word grace, some use the word favor, but it's the idea that God's blessing resides over my life. And so not because I've earned it in any sort of way, not because I've read my Bible, but it's just simply something that he loves to bestow. So the picture of this is this. We've got to learn to live to enjoy the Lord. Learn to live in such a way that you enjoy his presence. Not earn his forgiveness, not earn his delight in you. Learn to live in such a way that we just enjoy his unconditional love. Learn to live in such a way where we enjoy his limitless forgiveness. Right? It's just looking at these things in this type of perspective, understanding that the favor of God rests on us. And so I have his peace, I have his hope, I have his joy, I have his love, all because he says so, not because I've earned it in any way. That's his favor resting on me, and that's his favor resting on you. That's the favor that was resting on his son. God found pleasure in Jesus. And you may find this hard to believe, but God finds pleasure in you. God delights in you. And you might say, I'm a wretch, I'm a sinner, you just don't understand my thought life, you don't understand the words that come out of my mouth, you don't see the motives of my heart, the attitudes within me. God delights in you. God loves you. We've talked through that already. His favor is on you as a believer, and that's specifically who we're talking to here this morning. And so rest in that. Remind yourself of that. It's not because I went to church today that God loves me more. Right? It's not because I was a good parent today that God's like, yay, way to go. Right? His favor constantly resides. And so learn to live in the grace. Learn to live under the favor and blessing of the Lord. And that's what we see Jesus doing here. All right? Away in a manger. We see the baby in the stable here. We're going to go away with the manger next Sunday night. And what did Jesus do? Well, we know that he grew. We know that he was filled with wisdom. And we know that he lived in the favor of God. Listen, not every day is going to be a mountaintop experience, right? Not every day is memorable, where you want to just take snapshot after snapshot of every second. Most of life, we just don't even remember. But it doesn't make those days unimportant. So all I'm saying is just because the decorations are going away and we're looking forward to the next holiday, don't miss the next week in between. Don't miss the next 2 months in between, simply living from moment to moment. Right, let's do our part to grow. Let's do our part to be filled with the wisdom of God, and let's learn and encourage each other that we are under the favor and blessing of God as well. I believe if we'll do these things, then we're going to find life is not mundane. There's significance even in moments that aren't memorable. There's significance even in moments that aren't memorable. It makes me think of being playing sports. I remember my coaches telling me that you better run a little bit harder because somewhere else in another city, there's a guy just like you who's in a gym and he's running harder than you are right now. Right? It's just this motivation to get out there and do it. Now, when you put the jersey on and you get out there on the court, nobody sees what you've done throughout the week. Right? Now, it's displayed there, but they don't see the practice, the work that all has been put in. All they see is that moment. All right? We've got to learn to live beyond the moments. And learn just to look at life as this sequence. Every moment counts. This moment right now counts. So what can I pull from the Word of God? And I'm going to go out of here, and the next moment's going to count. It's going to count with my children. It may count with somebody that I have yet to meet. There may be an encounter just waiting for me 15 minutes from now that was totally unplanned for this day, at least on my end. Right? Learn to enjoy, but learn to look for, learn to take the most of and make the most of every one of these moments. I believe that's what this text is teaching here. We don't have Jesus' 7th birthday. We don't have his 10th birthday. We just know that he grew, that he was filled with God's wisdom, and that he lived under his grace.